This is Finn and Lila Hayes' Natural History and Horse Podcast. In this episode, I'll talk about drawing birds and animals generally. But, you know, birds, dinosaurs, it comes with the trade. So, first things first. Before you begin a drawing of whatever you're going to do, whether it's a mushroom, cycad, or just a velociraptor, bird, whatever. A good practice is to find 10 images from different angles from reputable sources. This is just so you build up an image of the creature in your head before you start to draw it. Next, make several practice sketches. Or imagine in your head, if you're good at that sort of thing. I'm not exceptional at it, but I do it occasionally in my head. Just map out how it's going to look and a general feel to the piece. If you're doing your artwork digitally, then it'll streamline some aspects of this, but a lot of the basis will still remain the same, and you can make great artwork even without a digital resource, or just digital tools generally. So, one thing I like to do is find the pose that you want and find an image of that pose. So if I'm drawing a velociraptor, the first thing I want to do is look up 10 different images of a velociraptor in 10 different poses from 10 different reputable sources, i.e. not Wikipedia. Sorry, Wikipedia. So after that, I want to figure out, in my head, how the whole composition is going to look. After that stage, I want to establish the feel of the piece and decide what pose I want the main subject to be in. Also, if I want to include any other organisms, then I would do the same thing, unless they're just minor, very minor, in which case I would, just search up, do the first step, but not the others. I guess really for other organisms as well. Just any other organism, you would want to do the first step, but not the others. Then, decide what color scheme you want the animal to have. This kind of goes along with step two, but it's good to have this in mind, especially if there are a couple of different contrasting sources, or even if it's a matter of the way the light is working, if it's a living animal or an animal that's still alive today. What I say tends to be paleontologically themed, because that's my current interest at the second, but this applies to everything, I guess. So, it's also a good idea when you're drawing to look up other people's illustrations of this animal. Not photographs or videos, but illustrations. Just get an idea of what the artistic representation is of the animal. For example, for a T-Rex, I would want to figure out what other artists have been doing. If I really like one, I can do it. Or I could evolve my own style of drawing a T-Rex. It's good also to make sure that you don't accidentally copy someone else's work, because it's never fun to get sued for copyright. I'm a 10-year-old, so I've never been sued for copyright, but from what I know of it, it's generally something you don't want to happen. So, on a lighter note, it's a good idea to start with animals that are well-known, but I sometimes like as an exercise to draw paleontological restorations of creatures that haven't been formally published yet, because, of course, there probably won't be many or any illustrations, and if I wait, then there'll be at least one, since every research paper has an illustration of the creature. Or most research papers. It's also a good idea when depicting the animal's behavior. If you have a particular theory you want to support, then you should do that. For example, but it's also a bad idea to use an outdated theory, or one that isn't taken very seriously by science, and has been actually disproven. For example, don't show brachiosaurs waddling around in swamps, but it might be acceptable to show brachiosaurs in some kind of unusual social behavior. It's not disproven, and there's some evidence for it. And while it may not be accepted by general science, there's a case to be made for it. That's the kind of things you want to use. And also stay away from, things that everybody does. Such as the old example of a sauropod, with its tail conveniently curled around to fit inside the picture, in a dry background with a gray body and a couple of cycad or monkey puzzle trees dotting in the background. It's generally a good idea, like I said before, to evolve your own style or technique of drawing animals. For those of you who aren't paleontologically faced or represented, that's equivalent to drawing a cardinal with a crest up or drawing a myrtle warbler in a myrtle bush. It's an old trend and one that a lot of people have done, so it's good to try something new. Let me see. Great books for drawing animals are Law's Guide, or the Law's Guides, actually. And I always found the Peterson Field Guides especially useful because they offer a diagrammatic view of whatever animal you want to portray, which is always good, especially for restorations. I say restorations. I guess what I really mean is a drawing of the creature or an image. Restoration usually applies to extinct creatures or sculptures. I'm not going to get into sculptures right now. But, back to the steps. Then I would draw the creature in many different poses, or just draw little thumbnail sketches, something I've been working on doing. Also, if you see something you really like in a book, or just something you want to copy down, then jot it down in your sketchbook, if you have one. I would recommend keeping one. I keep many, many. Some of them I just acquired. Others I actually looked for and picked out. But, yeah. It's a good idea to keep a sketchbook. And a lot of art institutions will require it, if you're taking art classes or whatever. It's also worth pointing out that if you want to disprove my advice or argue with me, then feel free to do so in the chat. However, please try to keep it mildly polite, because no one really likes to be shouted at. But if you want to say something along the lines of, "I think you have a interesting point, however, I read something here, here, and here," or, "I'm pretty sure this couldn't be accurate, because blah blah blah." I've done this in many, blogs, or in many places of learning, and it usually worked out pretty well, so it's a good thing to do, just to comment, or engage in scholarly debate. Scholarly debate, oh boy. Yeah. So, those are the most of the things I have to say about that. Just a second. Let me see if there's anything else I can dig up from the archives that could be of use here. Okay, right. So, another good idea is to study the work of other artists. This can be done by reading through books such as Painting Birds, The 10 Greatest Dinosaur Artists, The Dinosaur, or books that, that focus on specific artists, such as The Law's Guide, which is really more an instructional manual. But it's still good to note his particular style, which is expressed through his illustrations and diagrams. Auditory Peterson, again, their field guides, instructional. Some of them weren't actually by him, but it's still a good way to discover the work of other artists, even if they weren't Auditory Peterson. They're still undoubtedly good because they illustrated a Peterson field guide, and he has a pretty good track record. Go look him up if you haven't already. That's about all I have to say for this episode. If you enjoyed this, then leave a like, follow the episode, do whatever is necessary to gain popularity in this unusual and interesting world of podcasting. And stick around. See you next time for Finn and Lila Hayes' Horse and Natural History Podcast. Did I say enough? Oh, well, never know.